Starting therapy is simple with BetterHelp. Finding a therapist that you feel comfortable with and can meet in the privacy of your own space is one of the best things about BetterHelp. And if you're not satisfied with the first therapist, you can easily switch to another one. I connected to a therapist that had the understanding and the skills I was looking for and have really benefited from my time with her. If you're struggling and think you'd benefit from a therapy session, go to betterhelp.com/healingtrauma during sign up and get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast, a space for those who are healing from complex and developmental trauma. Introducing your host, Monique Coven, a certified trauma recovery coach, survivor, and thriver. The intent of the podcast is to provide helpful information with insight that can validate, encourage, and support you on your healing journey. You're going to hear stories from other survivors and trauma experts, featuring therapists, coaches, and practitioners. We will open up the conversation on effective trauma healing modalities, practices, and tools. If you are interested in recommended books and healing resources, head over to www.thehealingtraumapodcast.com. And now, here is your host, Monique Coven.
On today's episode, I am re-releasing what I think is a phenomenal episode with trauma therapist and author and trainer, Robin Shapiro. I first met Robin at a 2017 trauma conference in New York City. And I got to watch her in action and I was blown away because as she was demonstrating how the modality of ego states works, she was actually kind of role-playing it, which made it really incredible to watch. And you're going to get a little feel of that during this episode. So I really hope you enjoy it. And now on to the episode. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the podcast.
Nice to see you again, Monique.
It's so nice to see you. I was hoping that we could talk about ego states. You wrote a book. Is it called Easy Ego State?
Easy Ego State Interventions.
Interventions. I really loved that book. There was so much in it I could relate to. I thought it would be great to talk to you about it. The word ego states, at first, I didn't understand that it was parts work. I thought ego work, kind of. Maybe we could start by you just explaining, like, what do you mean by ego states?
Okay. Our brains are full of neural networks for everything we've learned. And ego state therapy is a way of differentiating or connecting these networks in our brain, I'm holding my head right now, in choiceful and hopefully helpful ways. Okay. And the important part of this work is to be really creative with it. Okay. So I am not dissociative, but I have an ego state that's a playful child that gets really, really silly. I have one that's a science nerd from about 7, 8, 9 years old. And to this day, what bird is that? What kind of rock is this? You know, and that's an ego state. I have one. I've been married for 30 years. I have the romantic part of me. Doesn't come into psychotherapy, but, you know, ego state and other ones. But I have conscious control over them. I mean, I'm not going to get too silly in certain work situations unless I think it's going to help that client who's dissociated get back into the room by laughing with me. I'm not going to get romantic to the wrong person in the wrong place. I save that for that guy I'm married to. Yeah. So I have conscious control. There are people usually who had a lot of trauma or a whole lot of attachment breaches as kids who have ego states they're not in control of that come up and start running things. These people have dissociation. Everybody that we therapists work with who has personality disorder, those personality disorders, the kind of states they get into, are different ego states. And if we work even with PTSD, they've got the, hey, I'm okay. But when they think about the bad thing and they go into it. And the traumatized part, that's a separate ego state, but not necessarily taking over everything. But they try to avoid that. I don't want to think about that car accident. I don't want to go there because that's where the bad feelings are. So the kind of here and now part is like, nope, not going there. You know, personality disorders, you've got, let's say with your borderline, you've got the really needy kid part. Don't go away. Don't go on vacation. I'll kill myself if you go on vacation. Then you'll have the angry part. Fuck you. You're going on vacation. You never cared about me anyway. And then you have the collapse part. You're going away. There's nothing you can do. You obviously don't care. I may as well kill myself. These are parts of them that aren't the whole thing, not the one probably that goes to work, takes care of business, drives, all that. But these are parts. And then you've got your people with horrible dissociation where the parts take over and they don't remember. They get into one and time passes. They do what we call losing time. And they don't even know that this other part was there. First DID client I had almost 40 years ago, I was just doing an intake and asking her about things. You know, did you ever have any of this harmful stuff? And all of a sudden, 37-year-old person said, who are you? Where is this? And I introduced myself. I told her kind of what was going on. I'm kind of like a doctor. So what's a therapist? I'm kind of like a doctor, but I never give shots. You know, I'm keeping my hands off me. And then because I had a background in hypnotherapy, I knew to say after I talked to her for a while, got her age 4 years old and whatever. I said, at the count of four, you and I are going to snap together. And a grown-up person who came into my office 40 minutes ago is going to be back. 1, 2, 3. And she came back and was a little bit weird. And then I asked her, well, how was that for you? What are you talking about? And I told her what happened. No, that didn't happen. I said, look at the clock. Oh my God, how did that happen?
So she wasn't even aware that she had DID.
And turned out she'd been ritually abused, all kinds of other stuff. I worked with her a lot of years. And I, in the meantime, read a lot of books, took a lot of workshops, and got really good consultation. No?
Yeah. So how is that? So you were just telling us before you started with her that it's different. Ego states are different than DID?
No. DID is what she had.
Right. How is
in DID, the ego states, some of them don't know each other.
Yes.
And they lose time. And there are usually more than one of what Kathy Steele calls the apparently normal parts that run things. So they might have one or two or three kind of grown-up parts that take care of business, but they're really more separate parts than my separate grown-up parts, you know? And then they have these kid parts, and when they take over, they may have no memory between them. This first client I talking about who has given me permission to talk about her because she said she wants her life to mean something and mm-hmm. to help other people. So I'm not giving her name or anything, but I have permission. When she was a kid, she had all these different parts. In school, one of them knew math and one of them took like the reading classes. So if there was a math issue, how long was the 100-year war in history class? She wouldn't be able to answer that question because it was another part of her taking the test. It was the history kid, not the math kid.
Wow.
Kind of what they call amnesia is part of how you find what DID, that this is DID, that there is some amnesia. Some parts may know each other and be like friends and work together in the beginning, but some won't.
So what about those people who, let's say, are not DID, but have parts that show up, say a young child or someone, you get triggered and you know it feels younger. How does amnesia, how does that kind of play into this, or does it?
Well, they don't necessarily have amnesia. They can remember when that is. So like if you're working with a couple, and you will see one of them starting to yell at each other and it doesn't sound totally grown up. And the other one completely turning into a little kid getting yelled at. And I'll stop them. hey, no, no yelling, let's stop. And I'll say to the yeller, so right now, how old do you feel? I'm a teenager, and who are you yelling at? I'm yelling at my bossy mom who always wants me to clean my room and do the dishes. Okay, so does that woman over there look like your mom? No, she's female, but she's not my mom. She still wants you to clean the room and pick up your clothes? Yeah. Okay. What does your adult think about that? It's probably stuff I should do. Does your adult have anything to say to her about this? Sorry, I shouldn't sick my teenager on you. I'm going to try to stay grown up while we talk about this. Okay. And then I'll ask the other person. So when he was yelling at you, you looked kind of young. How old was that? Well, I was a little kid. And what was happening? My angry dad was yelling at me and he was about to beat me up like he did all the time. Okay. So does this guy beat you up? No. Does he look like your dad? No. So how old are you in real life? 37. Okay. But I'm still feeling that kid around, yeah. Can you go pick up that kid right now? Let's pull her out of that state back then when she used to get beat up. Okay. How many years ago was the last time your dad laid a hand on you? You know, whatever. And how old are you now? So how many years it's been? Okay, couldn't you go back there, pick up that kiddo, and bring her all the way up to here? Yeah. Right here, right now. Show her your big grown-up body she lives in. Show her this reasonably nice guy who does get pissed off. But you said he never hit you. And the guy's going, never did. You know, he does yell sometimes. Show her the difference between your dad and this guy. Also show her, if this guy hit you, your grown-up body, would you be able to hit him back? Yeah. Where would you hit him? Where do you think? Good. That'll keep him backed off. The guy's going, yeah, you won't have to do that. You know, they're laughing. And I say, you show that kiddo, you got a grown-up body, you're safe, and let me show you something you can do as an adult. If he ever yells at you again, you're married, he will probably yell at you again. Okay, you can do a timeout. I'm doing a T sign with my hands. You can do a timeout, and you can tell that kiddo, let's take, John Gottman says, a 20-minute break to calm down. If we can't calm down right now to talk about it and getting both of our adults, let's take a 20-minute break, find our adults, and come back here. So that's one way you can use ego state work.
It's very interesting listening to you doing it with couples. Very fascinating, Robin, how couples that come in for therapy, often they're doing that. The wife is triggering, the husband may be triggering their father or mother and vice versa. It's like we're seeing our parents in front of us. To be able to do that the way you're describing it to me is fascinating in together. Did you have to do, you have to do a lot of educating them before?
No, right there. Every client I've had gets the inner kid stuff. It's just we get it. We notice ourselves doing it. You just hear the ice cream truck going down the street in the summer. How old are you? You know? So I use it a lot with trauma. Trained in EMDR. I've been doing that for 28 years. It works great. But there are now about 5 different books about doing EMDR with ego state work, because when you start getting into more dissociated people, you've got to work with the parts in order to be able to do the EMDR with it. You know, so we get to, I'm not going to go into it, but which one is going to be right now? And if the EMDR is going to work, especially on really young, horrible trauma, I'm going to use ego state work, get the adult totally here into their, how old are you? Your feet reach all the way to the ground. That's a grown-up body. You know, what do you do for a living? You know, just really get them into their adult self. And you're a mom. How old are your kids? You know, great. You got this part of you. Let's bring that back. Let's go back to that kid who was sexually abused when you were 3. I need you to send your adult back there. Pick up that kid. Tell that kid who you are. You're not going to hurt her. You're her grown-up self. And then bring that kid all the way up the years to right here and right now. Show that kid around. Show that kid your grown-up body, where you live, that nice house you live in, or if they're in my office, which I hope in about a month and a half, I'm going to have clients back in here. You know, look around. Is anybody going to, you here? Were you ever in this room as a kid? Nope. Only in my 50s or whatever. Show that kid that, show him where you work, all that. Okay. And let that kid know they're safe with you. You're going to take care of them. Nobody lays a hand on you now without your consent, right? Okay. Now look back there and see if any part of that kid is left back in that state. And what's the feeling that's back there? Man, it started out terrified. Now that kid is really mad. So go get that kid again. Knows who you are. You don't have to introduce yourself this time, unless it's very DID. Bring that kid up the years again. And so we may end up doing that 3, 4, 5 times until they say, that kid's not there anymore. Nothing's left. And it may be a different feeling each time. First time, terror and anger. Then the last time is often sad that it happened. And then maybe relief that it's over and they're completely up here. And instead of there being 6 kids from each time, there's still one left up here. Are you ready to hug that kid in? Bring that kid right in. So this ego state work in therapy, it helps for understanding for the client and the therapist what the heck is going on.
I'm wondering, Robin, have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be my hormones at play. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body, whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product. The quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. One of the best things about Hormone Harmony is how it's become such an essential part of so many women's daily routines. With over 40,000 5-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said they felt like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order with my code HEALING at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEALING for 15% off today.
Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. A lot of people have where they hate the younger part. They hate the child. So what happens if you say, go back and get them, and they're like, they don't want to, or they're angry, or they feel like they don't have the capacity?
Well, yeah, this is really a terror of these parts. And I explained to the client, your nervous system has been trying to absolutely save you from all this trauma. From the very time where this part came up, what happened? There was something really distressing, a huge feeling you couldn't tolerate. And the opiates in your system came up and knocked out the neural network of those feelings and brought another one up to function. If it was still really distressing, maybe that one would. And there might be 3 or 4 parts from that time holding different feelings, you know, or one that watched from the ceiling, one that felt, if it was like sex abuse, one that held the physical feelings, one that felt the fright about it, one that just sort of spaced out. They might all be there. And your whole nervous system's job has been to keep that stuff away. And that's why you have what we call a phobia of these parts of you, the phobia of these ego states inside. In order to heal, we've got to get you to stop having that reflex of pushing them away. And there's all kinds of ways we get over reflexes. One of them, I've had 3 times in the last year, people have approached me with a sharp object to jab into my arm, and I've smiled every time it happened. When I got my shots to not get COVID, every time it's been like, yes. Normally, if somebody came after me with a sharp object, I'd punch them and run, but not those nurses, okay? And people who put lenses in their eyes, they stop the blink reflex. So what I'm going to do is ask you to see that reflex for what it is, the phobia of those, so that we can heal this trauma. Are you willing to pretend that you can put up with this part so that we can heal it? And if they can't, we're going to come up with like a made up healing place, and we're going to put the best caregiver in the world. It might be an angel. It might be Mary Poppins.
Mr. Rogers.
One of those beings. Sometimes if it's a really needy kind of client with all kinds of needy kid parts, they might say, no, I want it to be you. I want it to be you. And I'll say, well, better than me, it's going to be my clone who doesn't have any other clients, does not have a life outside of being with you, and does not need to eat, sleep, or go to the bathroom. So it's around 24/7. So we're going to put, and unlike me, never makes a mistake. This clone in with this part of you, and this clone or this angel or Mr. Rogers will take care of this kiddo. Every need will be responded to, unlike your rotten childhood. Total, utter protection at every moment. Connection, support. And what's even better for healing is that every minute out here in the world where you and I live is going to be an hour in there. So next session, next week, that kid is going to have months of care. That kid part or those kid parts or whatever. They each get their own Mr. Rogers, their own angel, their own clone, those different parts. And it's an absolutely safe healing place, you know. And with all the good kid food, those kids want to eat too.
Yeah. And you also said no calories. I heard you say that there's no calories in the healing place. Do you find that people like that, how do they respond to this imaginary healing place?
Some people come back and I have them, okay, check in with that kiddo now. She's so much better. She's not scared anymore. Can you go in there and talk to her? Yeah, I can tolerate this now.
You were talking about that in your book, about part of it is also creating safer healing places that your young parts can go to, as well as internal caregivers, imaginary. Yeah.
But for a lot of people, especially who are not particularly BID, or a lot of people can take care of those kid parts. It's in my book and I talk about it. There's a woman named April Steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, who does imaginal nurturing, where she sends most of her clients back to deal with their baby self on the day they were born, to pick that kid up in that neonatal ward and let that kid know, I love you, you're perfect, and I'm here for you the rest of your life, you know. And then she does it a few years later on with the thing where the kid gets to go play and then come back and still be held and go play and still be in contact. That really builds up the sense that you can be who you are and you're not going to lose everybody, you know, because they're still there. Object constancy is what she's building, and it's gorgeous. She has a wonderful class on her website that you can buy and download, and a wonderful book with all these scripts of talking to the kids in it. It's called Imaginal Nurturing, and it's lovely.
I know when we sometimes start introducing parts work, do you help the client see what's already going on for them in their adult self? Like the resourced part that
I always start with, as I said during that trauma work, that you get the adult. So how long you own a house? And if they don't have a very functional adult, I might ask them for something like, when is a time that you helped somebody else, you took care of somebody else? My friend was sick and I did that. Okay, that was the grown-up part of you that did that. And did you drive over here today? No, I took the bus. I don't own a car. Well, was that your grown-up self that knew which bus to get in and bought you your bus card and all that? And it's like, yeah, okay. So that organized part of yours, you know, the one that makes dinner. Good. We got you. The one that knows you're 37, you know. Good. So we really get that and notice that grown-up body. And then we'll deal with the parts, but always
building up.
Start with the apparently normal part, that adult, that here and now taking care of business part. Even the most dysfunctional person functions enough too. I mean, if they're not locked up in a ward somewhere, you know, they've had to pay the rent, take care of business.
You talk in your book about baby states, let's say clients who had very early attachment trauma. How would ego states, like what kind of work would you do with
that April Steel work?
Okay.
That April Steel work. And then I do something else. If somebody like spent their first 6 weeks in the NICU in a glass box, you know, the neonatal ICU, yeah, they've got a lot of trauma. They didn't get held. They may have been fed through a tube. And you want to really have them go pick that kid up, connect with that kid, let that kid see it's now. You may have to do that 10, 20 times, bringing that kid up to now. But thinking of the first day that their mom finally got to pick them up, if their mom was any good, which sometimes they're not. But to really do that, I do that April Steel work, absolutely. And I also, because I'm an EMDR person, I will do the work of Maureen Kitcher. I'll do EMDR on this. I'll say, you are not going to remember this, so don't worry about remembering it. But when you think about being an infant in that glass box, not able to touch somebody, maybe not being able to be fed through a bottle, what do you notice in your body right now? Really tight. Yeah. What emotion are you feeling right now with that really tight? Kind of scared, kind of mad. Yeah. How big is it? 0 to 10? And then EMDR with that, fast EMDR with that. And then clearing that and then going for other things around then. That's been amazing.
That's great. A question I had was, for some of the developmental trauma, would ego states therapy be enough? Or do you think you need to add maybe EMDR? Or do you think that could be sufficient when you go back and you heal that inner child?
Oftentimes, it's really helpful. You have to know what you're doing. And this 45 minutes, I've given some of my best things, but you need more. You need to take my two-day class that talks about ego states, that talks about working with all the different levels. Or there's other people who teach wonderful ego state classes. Kathy Steele, Dolores Mascara.
The classes that you're talking about, they're more geared towards professionals that are working with trauma as opposed to, let's say, just someone who is healing from trauma, a client.
Yeah. So if you're talking to people who are clients, sometimes ego state work can be fix absolutely everything. But the problem with a whole lot of therapists is they might know one kind of therapy and they're only seeing you through one lens. If you have a client, a therapist who only has a hammer and thinks you are always a nail, when sometimes you are a screw or sometimes you're a different kind of fastener, you need somebody who can see you through whatever. If you're not getting well and you're getting all this great ego state therapy, and you need maybe EMDR, maybe somatic work. I mix all of those things up all the time, and I don't need new clients. Do not call me for therapy. I'm doing more training and consultation to therapists than I am clients, and I'm only working with clients that I have seen before. I'm old and I don't have many spaces. So, okay, just so you know. But look for people who have more than one lens through which to see you.
I agree.
And I am going to say something that will piss some people off, especially if the only lenses they have are either cognitive therapy or, if you've got a lot of New Yorkers, if they only do analysis, if they're analysts, because these therapies only work up here, and you need therapies that are going to work. I just touched my head when I said up here,
yeah,
as you can see me. You need people who can work with things that go into the whole body, because it ain't just your brain.
Nope.
It's your whole nervous system and a lot of your organs too, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you agree, Monique. My motto is whatever works for the client who's in front of me, and whatever works for them today, because something that worked on one problem for them may not work on another. Mm-hmm. This is straight EMDR. They had a car accident 2 weeks ago and they have PTSD. We cleared it. It's done. But if we're working with a developmental trauma, we need to go handle those kid parts.
Yes.
And let them feel that they're here and now and safe and lovable.
And that's why I love parts work, because that's what's popping up all the time. And I was talking about how with developmental trauma, some of our parts, because they had to go to school, had to continue living.
Right. You put that stuff away so that we can function. And it's been amazing. You start working with somebody, they start feeling safe. And the memories start showing up. And this is where the false memory jerks will say, the therapist is putting those memories into the clients. No, I had no idea. I wasn't suggesting anything. I was just saying, oh, you're looking distressed right now. Where are you feeling that in your body? Oh, right here. Do you know what that's about? Oh shit. This is about this thing that happened, you know? Because they had pushed away the feelings, the sensations, so on, mm-hmm, with everything, so that they could function. Their nervous systems pushed them away and they developed this other part that functioned.
Yeah. There's two people that I know from extreme trauma like that. And before some of their memories returned, they actually said, I had a good childhood. My family was the perfect family, only to realize it was just the opposite as the memory started coming through. And that was it, I think, a defense so that they could live.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes what's interesting is the ones who live in the trauma state all the time, you clear a bunch of that trauma and they say, you know, my parents were assholes, but there were some good things, because then they can start remembering the good things. It's really interesting. It's like, which part are you dealing with? Yeah. So, yeah.
I love this conversation. Really, Robin, it's because in childhood, developmental trauma, we didn't get to deal with the pain, the trauma, the healing, the repair is what I'm saying. And I love that now in the present. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I love it so much. Yeah.
It's not too late. So I'm going to do some advertising now.
Go ahead.
Okay. For therapists, I do a 2-day and sometimes 3-day with lots of practices and stuff, easy ego state training. And there's one up now in a month, and there's several more that will be coming in the next year. Some of them will be online. Some of them will actually be in person. So those are there. That training is also recorded. And if you go to EMDRsolutions.com, you can find that recorded one. There is also a 1-day training recorded on working with people who had childhood sexual abuse, including how to get them into a good sex life now. And there is a free half-hour recording on working with people who have multiple chemical sensitivities. The same thing works with chronic pain, a lot of chronic pain. And people are finding out that it's working with long COVID for a lot of folks. Mm. They get their taste back the first day that you start doing it. They get their breathing back. Not everybody. And I'm not a doctor, but a lot of that stuff becomes neurological after starting out physiological. It's amazing. So that is free.
Hey,
and that's a half an hour. Okay. And so that's it. I am not taking new clients. Sometimes I have space for new consultees. And I do have an open consultation group where you might get 10 minutes. That's a monthly Friday afternoon group.
I'll put all information in the show notes. And I want to thank you so much for spending time with us, Robin. I'll also put the link to your book as well.
Great. See you later. And thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Bye.